Good evening, or good afternoon, or good morning, whenever you finally get the chance to listen to this. The long-awaited final part of my USA adventure. I do apologize for the length of time it's taken me to get to this, but I have been sifting through, hundreds of photographs that I took, and trying to put them in some kind of logical order to tell a story. In the end, I thought, if I'm ever going to get this audio posted, it will just have to be a disconnected set of memories and stories to tell you. If I go off at a tangent, I hope you'll excuse me, but I really have saved the best until last. You know how people tell you that, oh, you ought to go to such and such a place because it's like no other place that you've ever been to before. Well, I've heard that said quite a few times, and people told me that New Orleans was like that. And I went, yeah, of course, yes, I'll go and see for myself. Well, I'm here to tell you officially that New Orleans is unlike any other place you have been to before. There is a life, an energy, an excitement, a vibrancy about all of the buildings that I saw. They are dripping with history and tradition and just sheer exuberance. I've never been there during Mardi Gras. To be honest, I'm not quite sure I would survive during Mardi Gras. It was a close call during one or two days I was there, as it was. We'll get to that later. The French Quarter, I spent pretty much most of my time there when I wasn't going up and down the Mississippi. But it is a beautiful place to be. There are artists, there are musicians, there are street entertainers, there are hustlers, you'll find those in any big city, I suppose. There are so many bars and restaurants that if you lived in New Orleans, you could probably go to a different one every single night and you would never go to the same one twice. I have honestly not eaten so well, I think, in my life. The food is extraordinary. The people I met were fascinating. Not just the native New Orleans themselves, but people from all over the world flock to this small little outcrop of adventure in the southern United States. So let's get straight down to it. I was staying on Canal Street, which literally the trolley car was right outside this old historic, I think it was a 1920s built house. It certainly had the look of it. The original fireplace and chimney still there, wooden floorboards, the ceiling fan going round and round and round. It set the scene. I honestly felt like I had gone back in time and was part of a Tennessee Williams play. I expected Blanche DuBois any moment to arrive on this trolley car that went up and down outside my window every 20 minutes or so. It was a great way to get into town, or it would have been a great way to get into town if there hadn't been a bit of an accident. I don't know if any of you saw on the news. There was a hotel that collapsed, the Hard Rock Hotel Cafe, and unfortunately there were some fatalities. Turned out that the bloke who was building it was using substandard materials and unlicensed workers, but that caused a major blockage right in the centre of town and meant that the trolley car only went a certain distance. Having said that, if you want to get anywhere in New Orleans, take an Uber. Seriously. Yeah, I know it's more expensive, but it's relatively cheap and they're so easy to get, so easy to drop you off from one place to another, especially if you don't quite know where you're going, that it is the best way to travel in New Orleans. I was there with a friend visiting from another part of the States, and on the first weekend we were in her hotel, and we noticed a bit of a noise going on outside. We happened to have arrived at the annual Halloween parade. Didn't even know this was going on, but there were people dressed in costumes going up and down in huge, enormous, great floats. One in particular that stands mentioning is the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, I think they were. They were from a local riding stable, and they were wearing costumes that represented the Four Horsemen. They had even decorated their horses, and it was amazing. There were people dressed as skeletons and vampires and the usual kind of things that you got. Great big haunted houses and ships, Pirates of the Caribbean, floating down the street. So we went outside. My friend discovered a passion for beads. Beads are currency, apparently, in New Orleans. There is this tradition of flashing boobs for beads. Yes, that actually exists. But I kind of avoided that. They were pelting us with plastic cups as well, so you had to dodge occasionally. It was a great way to start a trip with this unexpected pantomime. It was quite bizarre in places. Huge skeletons sort of rising above the houses, slowly snaking their way through the streets of New Orleans. Very narrow streets, very old. Again, as I say, each house, I think, could have told its own individual story. Very unlike New York. New York was all angular lines. New Orleans, very Parisian, reminded me a great deal of Normandy. Some of the buildings, some of the places I visited in Normandy in France. But I suppose that's the French influence for you. So what else did I do? Well, I took a haunted house tour. Ooh, Bloody Mary's haunted house tours, yes. I've thrown in a few photographs of the haunted house that we went to, the seance room, the chair that you're not allowed to sit in because apparently it's preoccupied by a ghost. Gotta watch that. We did some ghost hunting with them. I used divining rods, and apparently I contacted a spirit, but I didn't know I'd contacted one. Maybe some more on that one later on. We were taken to a haunted forest, and, well, I think I took a picture of a floating orb. At least that's what the guide said to me, just kind of squiggle. I'll throw that photograph in for you to have a look at if you want to. Most of my photos came out as just overexposed or blank and nothing there. Apparently that was the spirits messing with me. Or it could have just been a very dark night. The one thing that, whether you believe in spirits or not, the one thing I could say was that our tour guide, a voodoo priestess, was absolutely amazing. There, I don't think, was anything that she didn't know about the history of New Orleans, about its traditions, about all the hidden little nooks and crannies that you can go to. So definitely well worth the tour. I even managed to get a voodoo doll as part of a package. So I have my own voodoo doll to look after me and protect me from anything that might be lurking in the darkness. What else can I tell you? Well, I was told that I should try some of the bars, and a hurricane. Everyone who goes to New Orleans will become aware quite quickly, if they don't already know, that the drinking laws there are pretty much non-existent, as opposed to other parts of the United States where you need to be a certain age and whatever. But there are laws, I'm not telling you to go and break them or anything like that, but pretty much everybody tends to be quite laissez-faire. That's a wonderful feeling I got from New Orleans generally. You know, this live and let live attitude, you know, just don't care. As long as you're having a good time, you and not bothering anyone, you go ahead and have a good time. You know, when you're out at night and it's 4 a.m. in the morning and you notice somebody wearing a loincloth and nothing else walking down the street, it's sort of, well, this is New Orleans, so? as I said, the drinking laws, they are pretty lax with a lot of things that are going on, although still make sure you take your ID and things like that with you. But you can actually get a drink in New Orleans 24/7. Some of the bars and clubs are open 24 hours a day. So, and like I said, when you're around at 4 a.m. in the morning and it's still broad daylight because it's so light, there's a kind of sense that time is standing still. One of the drinks I was told I should try is a hurricane. I didn't like it. A little bit too sweet for me. But some of the other cocktails that I tried, I'll come on to those later on, they were definitely worth it. Now that I've moved on to the subject of food, there are quite a few honourable mentions. Some of you are good enough who've been to New Orleans to point out a few places I need to go to eat. I went to a place called Muriel's, which is in Jackson Square. Jackson Square itself is worth mentioning here. It's full of artists, street performers. It has, well, St. Louis Cathedral is there. It overlooks, Jackson Square itself has got a statue of the great man, Andrew Jackson. And you head down to the waterfront, you've got a fantastic view of the Mississippi River. And you can catch a paddle steamer there as well. Providing you can put up with this awful noise. It's got this organ that plays a ridiculous tune that you can hear all over the place. And after the first couple of days or so, that tune was really getting on my nerves. I just wanted to take an axe to the organ or something like that. Anyway, getting back to Muriel's. Quite a posh restaurant, a little bit more pricey, but you get what you pay for. Beautiful place. And I was quite glad I was wearing a suit. I think I would have felt underdressed if I went there and was not wearing a suit. Had some delicious food there and went onto the balcony with a cocktail. On the balcony itself, the young lady I was with played Moondance, my theme tune, and well, I couldn't do anything else really, could I? On the balcony overlooking Jackson Square, we had our own Moondance. I also went to a restaurant called Luke's and had char-grilled oysters for the first time. I don't know if you like the taste of oysters. When I tried them, first of all, the only other time I've had them is in France, and that was fresh from the beach. So they give you the oyster, you add a little bit of black pepper or some lemon juice or some Tabasco sauce, and you gulp them straight down. It tastes a little bit like phlegm, actually. Not the most enticing of meals, but char-grilled, I don't know what it does to them, but they were absolutely delicious, creamy. Mmm. I've always been told that oysters are an aphrodisiac. I've never seen it myself, but char grilled oysters. Oh yeah, they'll make you randy like nobody's business. So where else did I go? Well, I could tell you about the various shops they've got. There's a special shop that I went to buy a mask. These are handmade leather worked masks. Again, a little bit more pricey than the ones you pay. You get the Chinese made plastic imports, but they're, no, if you want the real thing, some of these masks were absolutely beautiful. The one I got eventually was quite straightforward and plain looking, but I felt it fitted the character of the mysterious English vampire that I was going to be playing later on. If you're really lucky, I might put a photograph of that in. There is also, I had my fang fitting at the Boutique de Vampire as well. This fellow, who was a theatrical makeup artist by trade, he'd worked on some television series. So these fangs that I got custom fitted, they are the real thing. I mean, God, they were good. I felt as if I'd gone to New Orleans and come back a vampire. More about that later on, because there are some strange people were lurking around the French Quarter, I'll tell you that. I also picked up a couple of tarot decks there. I used to read tarot in my youth as a reformed goth. If one can ever be truly reformed, once one is a goth, one is always a goth, I suppose. But these decks they are absolutely beautiful. One is called Deviant Moon. Really strange, bizarre, surreal pictures. And the other one is the Tarot de Vampire, which is a vampire-themed tarot deck. Again, beautiful little works of art in their own right. And I got talking to the girl serving behind the counter, who, after a few minutes, said to me, "Well, would you like to visit a special place? If you do, here are the directions." I went, "Okay, right." It turns out they were directions to a place called the Potions Lounge. Now, what I didn't realize is that the Boutique de Vampire and the Potions Lounge are worked in by the same people. And they use the boutique as a way of kind of assessing the suitability for certain people to go to this special potions lounge. I'll tell you more in a moment. I was told it's their way of keeping out the riffraff. The potions lounge is a vampire speakeasy. And if they get a good vibe from you, they will give you the directions on how to find it. You go to a certain bar on Bourbon Street. I could tell you where it is, but then I would have to kill you. When you step inside the bar, you ask the barman, or you say to the barman, "The vampire sent me." And he will direct you to a courtyard in the center of the club. In the courtyard, there is a door marked employees only. You go through that door, making sure nobody sees you go in there, up a winding staircase, guarded by two tabby cats who are very friendly, very curious, but very friendly. And you will come to another door. On the window of the door is a sign saying, "Turn the key and consider yourself invited." Once you go through that door, you can leave your sanity behind. It is the strangest looking place I think I've seen in a long time. The walls decorated with pictures of strange people from the 19th century, Parisian posters, broomsticks hanging from the ceiling, skull of a bird in a birdcage, bureau. Again, I can't describe this. You have to look at the pictures, really, you do. A vampire chess set, a coffee table held aloft by a great bronze dragon, plush seating around, leather and purple, and surfing music playing in the background, sort of weird kind of rockabilly sound. I got quite into that at one point. This place, the Potions Lounge, is a vampire speakeasy, a real speakeasy that they took over. It specializes in absinthe cocktails. And if you have never tried absinthe, its reputation precedes it. It is strong. It will knock you off your feet. I have a pretty high tolerance level when it comes to things alcoholic. So I was able to sample quite a bit. But the whole process of the presentation of absinthe fascinated me. What you do is you have a glass of one or two shots of absinthe, and then you place a silver absinthe spoon, like a small trowel with lots of holes in it, across the top of the glass. You place a sugar cube on that, and you light the sugar cube. The sugar cube burns with a blue flame reflected in the green absinthe underneath the glass. It is magical. And once the flame goes out, you then take an absinthe fountain, which is a tall glass container with a lid and taps attached to it, and you drip distilled water and ice onto the sugar. That dissipates the sugar after it's been caramelized, and it mixes with the green absinthe, because you have to have it diluted. You can't drink absinthe straight, that would burn your tongue off. And you can see the swirling clouds of green chasing the green fairy. There were pictures of the green fairy all over the walls as well. It is quite a way to enjoy a drink, and the whole theatrical aspect really fascinated me. They also have a long list of cocktails that they specialize in, but my particular favorite was a potions poison, half absinthe and half champagne, invented by Ernest Hemingway, apparently, only he called it a death in the afternoon, and it was pretty strong. But gorgeous. I think I had four of those in one evening. I was surprised I could still stand, but I may have actually drunk myself sober. This place fast became my little hideaway. I was a local. I went there almost every night for a couple of hours or so on the way into town or on the way out of town. And I got to know the locals quite well. One of the barmen, actually an Englishman from a part of England that I know very well indeed. So we swapped a few stories about that. And I also ran into some fascinating characters. There was, the three witches from California. three young girls who obviously were a little bit worse for wear. One in particular was sozzled out of her tiny little mind. I had quite a long conversation with them about my tattoo. One of them spotted it and said, "Oh, is that Elvish?" And I thought, "Yep, right, this is a fellow nerd, we'll have a conversation here." We got into all things metaphysical, and And one of them even performed a spell on her friend to try and stop her from being ill after having drunken so much absinthe. Anyway, it so happens that they had booked a session at a swing club, swing dancing, which I didn't know had actually been invented in New Orleans. And I somehow got myself adopted, I think, by these three girls and invited to join them in this dance session they had. So I had a very good evening dancing, swing dancing, and looking after them, because I think they needed somebody to look after them. At the end of the evening, I remember, oh dear, I put all three of them into an Uber, gave the driver strict instructions to make sure they actually got back into the hotel in one piece, and waved goodbye. So if you are one of the three witches listening, particularly Grace, I had a wonderful time, girls, and I'm sorry I had to leave you at the end of the evening, but you know how these things are. So I ran into a vampire and his wife from Nebraska. I didn't realize there were vampires in Nebraska, probably because there isn't much else they can do. And we discovered one or two things in common. Again, had a wonderful time. The club, I think, attracts a certain kind of clientele. And there were some fantastic people that I ran into. There was one of the regulars gave tarot readings in the corner. They had a little balcony. All of the houses, the bars, have balconies that you can overlook the street, and it really is the best place to get a good view of what's going on. You can spend hours sitting on a balcony with a drink in hand, being entertained by watching the people go past and some of their antics. So what else did I get up to? Well, I went to a place called the Bottom of the Cup, and I had my tea leaves read. Yep, a friend of mine had a tarot reading, but I thought I'd have my tea leaves read instead. A wonderful chap called Otis, who told me, I'm a little bit skeptical when it comes to things like this. But I must say, Otis is either very clever at what he does, or very clever at reading people, because I deliberately didn't want to say anything that might give him some clue or hint at all. So I was desperately trying not to say a single word and see if he actually said something that made sense. And if I'm honest with you, yeah, some of what he said made sense. Moving on from there. Well, I've already told you that I went into St. Louis Cathedral. It's a beautiful place. Although in comparison with some of the cathedrals that I've seen in England, if you've seen Westminster Abbey, well, we won't go into that one. I also came across another side of New Orleans. You will have heard of Katrina and the fact that there are still areas of the city that are recovering from that. There was a large tent city set up under the road, the overpass, the interstate highway, I believe it's called. I felt relatively safe in the city. And I was told, stay in the main tourist areas. Don't disappear into some of the side streets off Bourbon Street. But then again, I suppose that's the same in any big city. But there's so many homeless people in New Orleans, living in tents or sleeping rough because it's warm enough to do so. And a lot of those people are victims of Katrina. They lost everything, absolutely everything. And they still are waiting for the government to do something to help them. Back on something a little lighter. If you ever do go to New Orleans, you will have to try beignet. Go to Café du Monde to try that, or Café Beignet. A beignet is a French pastry that is absolutely smothered in icing sugar. And they give you three in a little box, and half of the box is full of icing sugar. What I discovered is that it's best not to inhale when you're trying to eat these things, because the icing sugar goes right up your nose. incredibly sweet, incredibly sweet. But I got to have a jazz lunch there. There was a jazz trio playing in the corner. As for jazz trios, if you want a jazz brunch, you go to the Court of the Two Sisters. That has a buffet there and a wishing well in the center, but it also has a jazz band playing. And I tried for the first time Bananas Foster, which are bananas in a rum sauce. Oh, yes. And I had jambalaya, which I was surprised at. I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. And, of course, gumbo. Well, you can't go to New Orleans without trying gumbo. And it was, I had chicken gumbo. I didn't realize, I thought it was just seafood. But you can have a chicken gumbo instead. Like I said, I don't think I've ever eaten so well in my life. I could quite get used to having southern cooking. Absolutely gorgeous. As for another thing that I did, well, I collected one or two things from my cabinet of curiosities. For example, I went to a little voodoo shop around the corner, and I got myself a bat's skull, which is in the voodoo pantheon. A bat skull is sometimes used in order to gain intelligence. It's seen as a sign of intelligence. A severed alligator head, mummified alligator head. The alligator is a symbol of protection. And my alligator claw as well, along with a raccoon penis bone. Yeah, I didn't realize that raccoons had penis bones, but they do, apparently. Sometimes known as a Louisiana toothpick. I'll leave it to your imagination as to why it's called a Louisiana toothpick, but musicians, apparently, used to wear a raccoon penis bone in their hat band as a symbol of good luck for the performance and in the hope that they would get laid afterwards. Did I wear one in my hat band? I'll leave it up to you. All I kept thinking of is, when I was packing this in my suitcase for the flight home, is how the hell am I going to explain this to customs? Excuse me, sir. Is this your raccoon penis bone? I suppose they get all sorts coming from New Orleans. But I can't imagine that wouldn't be a bit of a talking point when I finally arrived in Manchester. So that pretty much takes me up to all that I did. Oh, what else can I say about New Orleans? It is an assault on the senses. It is color and sound and smell, and the warm air just adds that feeling. I took a trip on steam paddle boat down to Chalmette, which is the site of the Battle of 1812. I got picked on a little bit Our guide, who was dressed in period uniform, asked people where they were from. When I put my hand up and said, I'm from England, he said, oh, that's okay, we won't hang you from the tree over there. That didn't exactly make me feel comfortable. There were a few jokes aimed at me, but I took it all in good spirits. Yeah. New Orleans is an incredible place. I did get to go to part of the Vampire Ball. It is a very long story, and I won't bore you with it, but I didn't get to go to what I had really wanted to go to because of a problem. But like I said, I won't bore you with the problem. It is now solved. I did get to go to the Vampire Soiree. So, dressed up in my all black, my dinner jacket and trousers, my red velvet brocade waistcoat, my fangs in place, my black shirt and bow tie, I ran into a sorceress and her wife. We passed a very pleasant couple of hours discussing sorcery, the difference between Wiccan and sorcery. And then I ran into Lilith. Oh my God. Lilith and her sister Victoria, Victoria's dog, and Victoria's partner Constantine, who happened to be from the West Midlands. So again, you know, travel 3,000 miles and what do I do? Run into another Englishman. We got on famously. Lilith was slightly squiffy. I think she'd obviously had too much absinthe as well. She kept insisting that she would enslave me and turn me into her personal footstool. I think she was taking it a little bit too seriously for her own good, and I did say to her she was barking up the wrong tree there, but by God, did she look good enough to eat in that black dress. We got together for the Midnight Howl. At midnight, the 300 of us VIP guests had to howl at the moon to welcome the festival. And we had a blessing by a voodoo priestess as well. It was an interesting night. Very much think in terms of a Venetian carnival. Or that scene from Van Helsing where all the vampires are dancing in the ballroom. It was very much like that. I think it was the people that made the event. You have to take a slight suspension of disbelief when you go there, and a few people do take this far too seriously for their own good. But I had an absolutely great time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. In summary then, because I know this is going on for a long time, there are so many other things I could tell you about New Orleans. Perhaps if there are any questions that you have, and something I haven't already covered, you might want to leave a question in the comments below. I'll certainly do my very best. So what have I learned? I did save the very best until last. New Orleans is a place that I would like very much to visit again. I met some fascinating people there. And I think if I take anything away from my adventures, my travels around the States, it wasn't so much the places that I visited, it was having met wonderful people that made these places outstanding. New Orleans is a place I think everyone should go to once in their life. It is the kind of experience that will stay with you, and it will certainly stay with me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. Take care. And it was a very good night for a moon dance.